Glory to God. Isn't he wonderful? Yeah. Don't we love the Lord? Yeah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We acknowledge you here with us. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you with us here today. We just thank you for your presence. We just thank you that the love that you have for us, that you're with us and upon us, that you're in us, that we are in you and you are in us. Oh, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you're still standing. All right. Praise God. I think I'm going to talk about how to receive your miracle. I think that's what I'm going to talk about. Or receive your healing. Or receive the end of your faith. However you want to title it, okay? So I think that's what I'm going to talk about today. So how many of y'all need a healing in your body? How many maybe need a miracle in your life? How many are believing by faith for something to happen? Great, what a good group of people. This is the perfect group of people for today then. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, and we'll start in the Old Covenant, because I think I want to give you three basic principles on how to receive your healing, or how to receive your miracle, or how to receive what you want to believe God for by faith. Because believe it or not, it doesn't just automatically work willy-nilly, believe it or not. There's some things we have to do. Like, remember Jesus when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago? Didn't he provide everything for us then? He did. He did. But we didn't receive it then. So there was a point in our life when we received salvation. It was provided then, but we received it when each one of us individually chose it. And then we were able to have it, because we received what was already provided for us. So let's talk about how to do that. So starting in Deuteronomy, chapter 30, can we go with verse 18? And I announce to you that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong the day. Is that right? Oh yeah, that's right. And you shall not, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong the days in the land which you crossed over to Jordan to go in and possess. 19. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. How many of you have heard that verse before? Old Testament. So even in the Old Covenant, which was the covenant he had with our flesh people, we could still choose life and blessing. Right? So let me just say that. Even if you're a carnal Christian, and there's like no evidence, barely anything, that you're saved and redeemed. I feel like that sometimes. I've been in a few situations where I go, Lord, am I even saved? The thoughts that I'm thinking right now. Even in that state, you can choose life and blessing. It's been provided for us. That's good news. But we have to choose it. We have to choose that life and that blessing. Because it's like planting a garden. How many know that asparagus doesn't just start growing in your garden, right? Just because you got a piece of dirt in your lawn, lilies aren't necessarily going to come up right then. But you know what will come up with no effort on your part whatsoever? Weeds. They will just come up. I have never had anybody say, I can't believe it. An apple orchard just grew in my yard. I didn't do anything. A little bit of rain and up they came. You got to deliberately plant that stuff. But the weeds come real easy. The cursing and death come without any effort on our part at all. Without any effort on our part. They just come. So we have to actually choose to walk in the life and choose to walk in the blessing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like it. Old time religion. Hallelujah. So, let's just go on with that verse. Choose life in order that you may live and your descendants, verse 20. By loving the Lord your God, one. By obeying his voice, two. And by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we need to love the Lord, we need to obey his voice, and we need to cling to him. Hold on to him. Amen? So, believe it or not, anyone in the world can walk in life and blessings. It's just the unregenerate people won't do this part. They just won't do this part. They don't love the Lord, they don't obey his voice, and they don't cling to him. They don't. We have to choose to do that. Amen? All right. So let's go into the New Testament. The first thing on the three things that I'm going to give you, the first thing is, ready? Determine the will of God for your situation. We have to determine the will of God for our situation. If it's to have your home sell, if it's to get a miracle in your body, say you don't have a limb and you need a limb, I'm using an extreme measure. You don't need a healing, you need a miracle, right? If you have a healing, if you have an organ failure of some kind in your body, you can believe for a healing, right? Your finances are all wacko and you need money. You can believe for prosperity, for money, can't you? But no matter what it is, you have to be the one that goes in the Word and finds the Scriptures for you. You've got to, you have to do this part. You have to determine the will of God for your situation. Is it okay for you to be prosperous? Is it okay for you to be healed? Is it okay for you to be of sound mind? You can say yes, but you know how I know who says yes and means it? They have the Word to back them up. If you want to know how somebody's going to end up in their life, just look at the road they're on. Because the road is going to lead you to a result, isn't it? So if I'm in my easy chair each night when I get off work and I go home and I get my donuts and my almond milk because I want to be healthy and sit in my recliner, is the chances that I'm not going to have health and strength in my body, is there a chance I might miss out on some of that? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the road that I'm on doesn't lead to the result that I'm looking for. It doesn't. Almond milk is good. Donuts may not be as good. They taste good now, but in the long run, they don't get me to where I want to be. Amen? So you have to determine the will of God for your situation. Is it God's will that I, whatever, be healed, be prosperous, be in a new relationship? Wake up with joy in my heart and enthusiasm and energy to get the day going. Whatever it is. So we have to find out. Let's go through a couple of scriptures, okay? Let's start with 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John's way in the back, just before Revelations. Okay? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We got to know it's according to his will. Okay? we all need to know, because believe it or not, if I ask the Lord for something, let's just say that I ask him for a Learjet. Am I allowed to ask him for a Learjet?
Yes.
No? She says no. Huh? I am, all right. So am I allowed to ask for a Learjet? Is it God's will that I have a Learjet?
Could be.
Do you know what? Only I can decide that by what how I read my Bible and have my verses stand on. There are lots of men that have Learjets that believe it's God's will for them to have Learjets. Do you know what? In all honesty, that's nothing I would be standing in faith for. That's nothing I have confidence for. That's nothing I've searched out in the scriptures. So it'd be futile for me to say and believe for a Learjet. Because in my mind, I don't have a reason for one. In my mind, I don't have a use for one. In my mind, I don't have the money to pay for the gas and the insurance for one. So then I've got to believe for all kinds of other things to have one, right? For me, way too laborious. Way too laborious. But can I believe him for a new car? A different car? Sure, because I use those regularly. See, we disqualify ourselves sometimes at where our thinking is at, how we are inside. Even though the Bible says we're allowed to have it, we have to get to the place to where it's okay for me personally that I can have this. Okay? And that's the part I'm talking about when I say you got to find it in the Word. Okay? I can believe that by his stripes I was healed all day long and get results. But I might not be able to believe that anything I say will come to pass. That whatsoever thing you say shall happen. I may not be that guy. Look what it says in this next verse, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If he actually hears me, and I know it, that I have whatever I petition him for. How many of y'all got those petitions that I made a few weeks ago? Didn't you guys? A couple of you? All right, I got more. You can get them at the end. I made some petitions for us. You know what a petition is? Let me remind those of you that may not know and don't want to be embarrassed. A petition is a prayer in writing. Remember when they wanted to legalize marijuana? Well, they did in Pueblo, Colorado, where I used to live. And they sent around petitions. And people would walk around with these petitions. And on the top, it'd have what they were believing for Congress to change or to do or to amend a law or make a law. And then they would get everybody to sign it. And that means that all these people who signed it, their voices are recognized as wanting this to go through, right? That's a petition. It's a prayer that's done in writing, okay? That's a request being made known, your petitions being made known. I made some. So I did a teaching on this not too long ago out of Philippians that you're allowed to actually ask God for things, write out very specifically what you want, and get exactly what you're asking for. Get exactly what you're asking for. And so you can do this. I've got on it supplication, petitions, and requests, and I've got about three scriptures down here that say you're allowed to have what you ask for. This would be a good start for some of you, okay? And we can hand these out. Trey, are you going to do it now? If you want to. I only got about 24, 25, so we might need to make some more. So let me just say, here's how you can use this paper, and I'll go on there. At first, what is it you're believing God for? Healing in your body. What specifically? To have my blood pressure at 120 over 80. Some of you are feeling some glaucoma and issues in your eyes. I want my eye pressure to be, and then name your number. You know that? Or whatever it is, that there, all pain leaves my body. I am pain-free. Whatever. Just write whatever it is you want, and then right below that, find your scriptures that prove to your heart that it's God's will for you to have what you're asking. Do you hear me? This is really important. This is probably, there's going to be three things I give you. This is probably one of the top two of the three things I'm going to give you. You have to be confident that you're allowed to absolutely have what you're asking for, especially if you've got pain in your body. Seriously, because the pain is already speaking to you and saying it's real. It's already telling you, this is real, this is real, this is real, this is real. All right? So you need to know that it's God's will for you to be completely restored in your health, completely prosperous. Whatever your relationships are, righteous and holy and peaceful, whatever it is. I don't want to belabor the point. So, and then at the bottom, you can date it and put your signature. I'll explain this down the road, okay, as we go on. So we did Matthew, right? I mean, we did 1 John. Go to Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Surely I say, let me start in the beginning. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I used to think that doubting not meant that I could not have anything else in my mind at all contrary to the results that I wanted to get. Okay? And if any little thought came up, "Oh, you can't believe God for that." Or, "Oh, what makes you think you can have that?" Or, "You know, God hasn't healed you yet. You still got pain in your body." I used to think that was unbelief. Listen, all it is to not waver. Just hold your ground. If you just hold your ground, you'll win. And just because a thought comes doesn't mean that it's the truth or real. Really, you can cast it and bat it down. It's whatsoever thing you believe. Once you've got this grounded in your heart, once you've got it grounded and the scripture is in your heart and you've got it settled and steadfast, it's your anchor. It's your safe place. It's your hope is just solid because you got your verse. Doubting is just wavering. That's all it is. And we are not going to waver, right? We need to put faith in the scriptures that we have. Rather, let me rephrase this. We get our scriptures for faith, but we don't have faith in the actual scripture. We have faith in God through the scripture, right? Our faith is to God, and we're using the scripture to know the will of God and what our rights are, right? And that's what's going to be our anchor. That's going to be our stable. That's going to be that we're sealed in the fact that we can have whatever thing we ask for. So I put my little note here. I must know the scripture applies to me and my present situation. I must know that the scripture applies to me and my present situation. That will give you that strength. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at Mark 9. Mark 9, 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You don't have to. I'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. This is good news. Are you kidding me? If I can believe it, there's nothing that's impossible for me if I believe it. Oh my goodness. I can start believing for anything. Anything. I can start believing for anything. That's crazy, isn't it? The key is I got to believe. Right? I got to be convinced. Whatever convinces me, if I'm convinced, I can have it. I can have it. All right, let me give a little story. This will help a little bit. I started doing this stuff, and I was a man on the earth who's claiming my Christianhood, reading my Bible to try to get God to give me something that I didn't have. And I was going without a lot of things because I felt like I was trying to manipulate God, maneuver God, beg God, get something from God, and it was difficult on me. This helped me to cross over to get these scriptures and use them as anchors to stabilize me. Okay? And that is this. I've told you this before, and I'll just keep sharing it with you. This is how I do it. I see myself on the earth, like right here in this room with you. And while I'm praying, I start right here. But then I start lifting myself up into the air, into the clouds, through the clouds, through the atmosphere, up to where I call heaven, into heaven, into the throne room, and I sit down on the throne next to Jesus. And then I say, from seated there. That has helped me tremendously to do these things. So let me just clarify. How many of you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Right? We are. So wouldn't it behoove us to pray from that place? From being seated in heavenly places in Christ. It doesn't say, I will be seated at the resurrection. Then I'll be seated. It doesn't say that. Just like we use the scriptures that by his stripes, I, past tense, was healed. In other words, when the stripes were on his back is when the healing took place. Right? So when he resurrected and sat down in heavenly places in the chair next to the Father, that's when it took place for me too. Is one different than the other? No. It happened when he did it for me. But when I receive it is when I receive it. I received salvation when I believed. My prayer started being changed from seated in heavenly places when I believed I'm seated in heavenly places. I want to let you know, there are people that go to church that do not believe they're seated in heavenly places. They believe they're seated in a pew in a brick and mortar building. I'll help you. Heaven is in me, right? Because here's what I was dealing with. My consciousness, to me, is in this room with y'all, right? And as far as my intellect is concerned, heaven is way out there somewhere, and Jesus raised up on a cloud, so it has to be like out there, right? And then he sat down in some place out there on a throne, right? I'm just trying to figure it out in my brain as I was doing it. So I was having trouble with that until I remembered that we're in the spirit, you guys. It's in the spirit. My physical body's right here with you. My soul is right here with you. But my spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places, which is in heaven, which is in my heart. And the Spirit of God that's in my heart is going to be the Lord that brings life to this mortal flesh, right? The glory of God's going to come out of this flesh, and that's where I'm going to shine like the Lord. by the Spirit of God that's in me, right? So I'm in the Spirit in here, but I am seated in heavenly places. So when I pray, I get myself to the place that I am seated in heavenly places, and I pray from that place, or I speak from that place. Allows me to, in my heart and mind, have authority over the devil. That helps me when I speak against the pain or the sickness or the disease or the finances or the relationship. It helps me. It could help you. Because it's easy to, again, get back in our flesh and get zeroed back in to just being a man on the earth, and my feelings and my direct experiences are telling me the truth, or at least that's how I'm measuring the truth. Okay, and that's why I have to get back up there and start practicing being there, that I speak from that place so that that starts being my reality. That's why we worship. That's why we pray in tongues. That's why we sing and dance before the Lord. That's why we break free and get in his presence, right? Okay, that was free. That helps me. So whatsoever thing I can believe, I can have it. There's nothing that's impossible. From that place, right? From that place, there's nothing that's impossible. If you're seated in heaven, in Christ Jesus, on his throne, what's impossible? I can't think of anything that's impossible from that place. There's probably things that are impossible. I just can't think of any of them. I'm not even in that realm of living 24/7 yet. I just pop in and pop out. Maybe you'd do the same. So whatever you're believing for, we get our anchor in the Word, and we know that it's for me right now, and I get settled with that. All right? Number two. You determine when it's going to happen. Isn't that exciting? You get to determine when it's going to happen. Well, Robert, I can't determine when it's going to happen. Only God can determine when I'm going to have it. Only God can determine when I'm going to get it. Only God can do that. Isn't that right? Mm-mm. Let's look at another verse in the Bible. Go with me to Matthew 9. Are you with me? Matthew 9, verse 20, 21, and 22. Look at this. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, let me just set the stage. Jesus is walking down the streets, and there are people packed all around him. His disciples are his posse. And they're all collected around him. And then all the people are collected around him. And he's on his way to go help someone whose daughter just died. And along the way, while he's stabilizing this guy to only believe and not doubt in his heart, not get afraid, he gets interrupted on the way because of this woman. And this woman, it says in verse 21... let me just read 20. For suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, this is really important. She said to herself. She said to herself. I'm going to say it again. She said to herself. That is like really huge what you say to yourself regarding what you're believing God for. It matters what you say about that situation in your heart. What do you say? Not what I tell you, Pastor Trey tells you, Minton, not what anyone else tells you you need to believe. When you walk into that situation or up to that situation or standing against that situation, what do you say? You'll say something. I promise you will say something in your heart. And it's going to either be that verse and that portion of scripture that you have sifted through and decided is true for you personally and your situation, or it's going to be something according to the spirit of this world. It's what you say in your heart. You decide. So it says, "For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Healed. If only she touched the hem of his garment, she decided when she was going to get that healing. She purposed it. She determined. She was convinced that if she touched his garment, she would be healed. She decided that. She got it all squared away in her heart. And then guess what happened? Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." Her faith, what she said in her heart, and then the corresponding actions that she took, got it for her. Amen? If that happened in this room, if somebody said in their heart, "If only I touched the ribbons in his Bible, that Robert's so darn anointed. I tell you what, if I only touch the ribbons in his Bible, I'll be healed. I'm telling you what," and you come running up here and you grab a hold of that, or I'm walking around and you just, Millie just slips up and goes, grabs a hold of them and jumps up totally whole. Praise God. You know what? We'd start a new doctrine in the church. We would. You know why? That's normal thinking for people. Why? Because if we find something that works, we're going to do it, aren't we? The Bible's no different. It's no different at all. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Just a few pages over. Verse 34. Ready? "And when they had crossed over and came to the land of Gesser," whatever that is, Gennesaret, whatever it is, "and when the man of that place recognized him," when they all saw it was Jesus, "they sent out into all of the surrounding regions, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him," ready, "that they may only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well." That went like wildfire. That woman was sick for 12 years, spent all of her resources. She was totally well. 12 years. People knew her. And when she grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment, that works. Guess what? That word went out. All these people thought the exact same thing. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed too. Praise God. Faith was established. Whoosh, went out throughout the land. They determined that if I can just touch his hem also, then I can be healed. Whatever you determine, whatever you decide the date and the time. You decide. I'll give you an example. I mean, I've used this a lot. I used to smoke, right? I used to smoke. And I wanted to not smoke anymore. So I had to speak the way God speaks and see myself as a non-smoker and speak what a non-smoker is like. And I had to get it to where I had a new picture in my heart and a new identity written in my heart, which was, I would walk around my swimming pool smoking cigarettes, and I would say, "Lord, I thank you that I've got pink lungs. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I love water. Lord, I thank you that I love exercising. Oh, I am so healthy. Oh, I have so much energy. Crush that one out. Light another one. Start smoking it, walking in my circle. Lord, I thank you that I smell good, that I got nice skin. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I can do the 100, I can run a mile in under 4 minutes, Lord. 8 minutes. Right now, 15 minutes. I can run the mile, Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just start building an image in my heart. I never tried to stop smoking. I smoked as much as I wanted to. But I found that as I diligently spoke and said and confessed and had an image placed inside of me and laid hold of that image, that I started living out that image and I'd smoke 3/4 of a cigarette and just be satisfied and put it down, then half a cigarette. Then I would forget that, oh, I haven't had a cigarette yet today, and go have a cigarette. In 3 weeks, I didn't smoke at all anymore. And the urge was so minuscule and mute that I just cast them aside. 3 months later, because I wanted it to be real, I was remodeling a house at the time, and I had cigarette butts all out around my saws in the backyard, and I had a pack of cigarettes in the console of my car. After 3 months of not touching them, I decided I'll go clean up the cigarette butts in my yard now and throw those ones out of my car, because it had to be real, right? I had to have a real new identity, a real truth established in my heart. And as I did, I started living from that real truth. What I said in my heart is what was important. Are you with me? Okay. Let's look at this one. Matthew 14. Oh, we did that one already. So I wrote some notes down. It says, ask and receive. Don't just ask. Ask and receive. Don't just ask. Where do you receive at? In your spirit, in your heart, on the inside of you. That's where you receive. When the word comes, faith comes, you speak. You receive. There's a time I was walking around my swimming pool when I knew I didn't smoke anymore. I had a guy, we were having a party at the house, and we had people over, and this guy was standing in the sliding glass door. I remember it vividly. And he's smoking a cigarette. I go, let me have one of those. And he goes, I thought you didn't smoke. I said, I don't. My body still does, though. Yeah, to you, that's a joke. But listen, it's real. I didn't smoke, but my body was still doing it. But I didn't. And you know what? It was like 2 or 3 days after that is when I didn't smoke at all anymore. My body still was showing signs of wanting cigarettes, but I was so renewed in my mind that I was getting to the place where I really knew the difference between me and my body. Are you with me? There's a difference. And that means we got to get that word in us and in us and in us and in us to where the difference is made. All right, let me go on. We have to build momentum when we do this stuff, you guys. It's not just one time and then it's over. Let me give you a hint. Let me just tell you what number three is. You have to act free and refuse and resist anything that says otherwise. This is important. This is really important, and this is where most people cave. Let me reiterate it. Once I know that the Lord's allowed me to have it, to be healed in my body, to have my finances prosperous, whatever it is that I'm believing for, and I know it's the will of God, and I've got my scriptures that it's okay for me, and I'm starting to speak what the word says and getting my heart in it, and I've received it. I know that I asked, and when I saw and the light went on inside of me, I've got it, right? That's mine. I receive it right when the light goes on for me. That's mine. I'm free. You own that. Then you need to defend it. You have to defend it. You have to defend it. Just like when I asked for that cigarette and the guy goes, I thought you don't smoke. I said, I don't, but my body still does. I defended it right then. I stood that I don't, right? But I had grace that my body still did. Listen, to him, I was a crazy person. I was crazy. I was, what the heck? I had to be okay with that because I know there's a spiritual and there's a natural. We're coming from a spiritual, right? We operate from a spiritual point of view, seated in heavenly places, and there's a natural that's going to resist us. I did dragon boats once. What dragon boats are is it's a long canoe kind of a boat with a dragon's head on the top and a guy sitting on the back with a stick that kind of steers like in the gondolas. They just got a stick that pushes, but these guys have a rudder. And then you have a whole bunch of people, like 20 people in the boat. And each one of us have a paddle, right? And each one of us, say I'm on the right, I'll be on the right and this guy will set the beat, stroke! And then we'll all together, both sides of the boat. And these boats would race, okay? And we'd have competitions when I lived in Oregon on the Willamette River. And we would have these competitions, and they would be beginners, intermediates, and then the professionals, or whatever they called those guys, right? So there's three classes, and we'd have these races, and then you get trophies on them. Our city would do that. I'd never done it before. Nobody in our boat had ever done it before, except one girl had done it before, and I think the person that was in the front of the boat yelling out, stroke, I think they've done it before too. I think there's like two people that had done it before. So we were absolute raw beginners, okay? And we decided to use this principle. We decided we were going to win. We decided we were going to win. And so when we decided we would win on the very first day that we came together, we started practicing and we started getting in unison and we started seeing ourselves as winners. We had a friend there, her name was Diva, and yeah, that's a real name. And she would be going, we're going to win this thing. This is great, because we're a bunch of realtors and mortgage lenders all together doing this. This is going to be great. This is going to be the greatest thing. We're going to be winners. Can you guys see it? Can you see it? Can you see yourselves winning? I'm going, I can see it. I can see it. We're going to win. We're going to win. I'm all excited, okay? We get out there on the water, paddles going every way, the boat's hardly moving at all. It was terrible. Nobody knew how to do anything. Some people are stroking, putting their paddle in the water. Other people are pulling it out at the same time. We were a mess. But we kept working at it and kept working at it and kept working at it until we got a rhythm and learned how. You don't just do a canoe where you do this. You put your shoulder in it and you pull with your whole back. You pull with your whole back. You had to learn how to do it. Anyway, competition time came. And I had a girlfriend at the time. And she was going, you know, it's probably not good that you get your hopes up too high that you're going to win this thing. You know, you guys, after all, are absolute beginners. You know, and those are pretty tough out there. I've been out there before. It's a lot of, it's hard work. So I was going, no, don't put that in my mind. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And so then we are in our heats and we're doing our heats. And the first one, we won it. Praise God. And we got it and got the next one. We won them too. It's like we're getting pretty excited about things. And you got to wait a whole bunch of hours for your next time to go because everybody else is going too. And sure enough, the third one we did, we won that one too. Now it's lunchtime. And lunchtime goes, and guess what we found out? They took us out of the beginner class and stuck us in the intermediate class because we were killing it. We were killing everybody else. We were so far ahead of everybody else that they didn't think, and we were raw beginners, but we were believing and got in unity that we can do this. They moved us to the intermediates. That ripped us off. I mean, our sales went, shh. And I said, no, don't give up. We're going to win this thing. And they're going, we can't win intermediates. These guys have been doing it for a long time. We've never done it before. Don't worry. And I go to lunch with my girlfriend and her daughter, and she's trying to console me. Well, Robert, you know, you might get let down. Don't put too much into it. I know how you get when you get upset. You know, you're going to be terrible to be around. And we're eating lunch, and I'm halfway through my lunch, and I said, stop it. We're going to win this thing. We will go home with medals today. That's what I said. And I got up and I left the restaurant. I went back to our group of people. You know, she's sitting there going, she thinks she's helping me. We get into the boats, and it's our time again. In the intermediates, we're jacking everybody up. We're going. And we do our race. And we won that one. We had to do it again. And we won that one. Then we had to do it the third race. It's like, oh! And we did it, and they beat us. We got second place. Listen, that was a victory. Huge victory to be celebrated, because we would have slammed it in the beginners. And the second ones, I went against all discouragement. Not everybody was able to regain themselves on our team like I was. Some got defeated, you know, and it was harder on their brain to wrap around that they could win on that one. And so we came in second, but we did really, really good. The point is what I'm saying is, once you make up your mind that by his stripes I'm healed, or God delights in the prosperity of his servants and he gives me the power to get wealth, whatever it is, you hold on to that thing. No matter if there's pain in your body, no matter if everybody around you is telling you that it's not true, who cares? This is where people stumble. They don't latch onto it and retain ownership of it. You have to retain the ownership of it. Because listen, if you faint in your heart, you let go of it. If you think that it's God that's going to bring it to pass and you're going to hang on to it for all your worth until God does something, you could let go of it. Seriously, if you have an invisible time limit in your body as to when you need to see the results, and it's not there by then, you could let go of it. It has to be real when you decided. That's when it became real. And now it's up to you to hold on to it until it grows up into this natural world. When you plant the seed, you water the seed, you protect the seed, and you stay with it until the seed grows to where you can see it with carnal eyeballs or feel it with carnal flesh. Are you with me? You have to hold on to it. You've got to get it. Go with me to James chapter 4. That's right after Hebrews. James chapter 4, verse 7. Nope. Oh, that's Peter. That's why it's not there. James 4, 7. Yep. Ready? Therefore, submit to God. 1. 2. Resist the devil. You can't resist the devil. You can't resist the pain. You can't resist what other people are saying. You can't resist your emotions. You can't resist your faulty mind if you don't first submit to God and submit to what the Bible said, to hang on to that thing that you're believing for. Then you can submit to God. You resist the devil like I was doing in my girlfriend on the dragon boats. Yes, she was the devil. You know why? It's okay to laugh. It is. It's totally okay to laugh. She was the devil. I don't mean she was Satan himself, but the spirit of this world and the way this world thinks is demonic. The wisdom of this world is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It's of the earth, of your five senses, and of the devil. It is. That's what the Bible says. So I had to resist that demonic way of thinking according to the five senses that originate on the earth. which I had to resist it. And as I resisted it, it fled. Same with the smoking, it fled. I can give you other examples. It'll flee. It will go. But you have to own it when you say it the first time. It's got to be real. Are you with me? Look at 2 Corinthians. This is my last verse. Chapter 10. This is a little bit of a process. Oh, these healing ribbons keep getting in the way. Any of you want to touch my ribbons, you're allowed to. Here they are. 2 Corinthians, praise God. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Are you there? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You know this. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the five senses, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to take every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ, which means, again, back into the Spirit, seated in heavenly places, from a place of victory where that problem or that thing doesn't exist. Right? And when we do that, from that place, we continue to walk with confidence, boldness, and power in those situations. Are you with me? So, let's reiterate. What are the three things? Number one, shout it out if you got it written down. Exactly. Determine the will of God for your situation, whatever that is. Two, you determine the time that you decide when it's going to happen. By how do you decide it? By when you believe it's true. For when you say out of your mouth, doesn't it say out of Mark? Did I read Matthew to you? Yeah, that if you doubt not, whatever you say, believe it in your heart. Or Mark 11, we all read 23 and 24, the same thing. If you speak it out of your mouth, it's yours. It's a done deal, right? If you speak it out of your mouth, it's a done deal. You got to get that in your heart. Takes doing it. Here's another little tidbit. I'll just give you as a side note. Some of us are not getting the results because we're double-minded in our hearts. You know that? Sometimes we're double-minded in our hearts. Sometimes we know what the Bible says, and I know that anything I say believing, I receive it. So let's just say this. Let me give you an example. I'll use me. Let me make something up. I can't think of anything right now. Let's just say that I'm believing for healing in my body. Oh, no, finances. Let me do that one. It's easier. Okay? Say, Lord, I believe for $10,000. Is it okay? God delights in my prosperity. He likes me to have money, right? The answers to my prayers are yes and amen in Him, right? So I'm believing for $10,000 for someone to write a check for $10,000 and put it in my mailbox. All right? First of all, I got to actually believe that. I got to actually believe that that's going to take place. Okay? And once I can believe that that's going to take place, or that somehow $10,000 is going to come to me, then I have to fight. I have to resist the devil on him saying, but I don't know anybody that's got $10,000. At least that they'd be willing to give me. You laugh, you know why? You probably think that way too. I'm trying to help here. Right? So then I've got to go, who do I know that I can kind of like drop a little hint that has money that might give it to me, that I can drop a little hint So they at least know I'm believing God for it. You know? Who knows, you know? That's the devil, Bobby. You know why? Because that's the arm of the flesh trying to cause it to happen. That is corresponding beliefs in my heart that are stopping me from believing that simply because I believe God and I'm seated in heavenly places, that I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm set free, I'm a son of God. Therefore, because I speak, it happens. That's all those other carnal things that I have in my mind onto how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I need to know that when I say it, it's true. I'll give you an example. Bruce loves this one. That's why I'm bringing it up. Whenever somebody's got a short leg, you know, you ever seen somebody has little back problems and they end up having a short leg? I have absolute confidence that I can gather you guys around, we can look at it, and command that leg to go out, and you will all see with your eyes that leg grow right out in front of us. It happens every single time I do it. I'm not bragging. I just absolutely know it works. I've tested it enough times. I've done it enough times. It's happened over and over and over again. There's no doubt in my heart about it. I can do that by the Holy Spirit, right? We all got to get to the place to where we know that what we say will happen because we said it. Because you said it. Because you said it. Not because God does it. Because you said it. Because you are seated with him in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you did it. You don't have to convince God anymore. You don't have to be good enough for God anymore. You don't have to. He's moved you into life. You just need to believe him and receive it. And then speak from that position, right? So we get the word in our hearts. We get the word in our hearts. We get the words in our hearts. We speak the word. We speak the word. Mitten just gave a testimony last night that he came into a financial... Can I say this, Mitten? Is that all right? You've already said it publicly, so it's not anything. He came into a situation where he was living off of his cash reserves that he had that were invested. Stock market's going squirrely. People are losing money like crazy. His pie ended up becoming just a half a pie. And that's a place where you're living off of your cash flow from your reserves, from your investments. That could be a really scary thing because you just dropped your income, right? And he got a scripture in the Word that he believed, that he was convinced by the Spirit of God that that was appropriate for him to use as an anchor and to claim as his own. And he spoke that word. And when fear came, he spoke that word. When doubt came, he spoke that word. He would stand in his home. He would look out over his neighborhood. And he would speak and believe and confess and rely on and trust and adhere to and hold and keep and protect that reality of that truth from that scripture in his heart. And sure enough, the market turned around for him. Are you with me? That's a scary place to be in when you're watching your hard-earned investments going down, 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 and down real quick. Easy for fear to jump in there, right? You got to do it with whatever it is you're believing God for. It's got to be that thing where you trust and you rely on the Bible regardless of how you think and how you feel and what's coming into you. Are you with me? You do those three things. When you know that the word's for you, you speak that word, you hold that word true, you determine that I got it. When I said it, I got it. When I prayed it, I got it. And then you protect it. You never turn, you never let anyone deter you, and you stick with it. And you will absolutely have what you're believing God for. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I'll tell you, I have proven this over and over again with some really hard things in my life. where I'm telling you, I was crying, I was bawling, I was squee-weeing because it meant so much to me. And I couldn't see it turning around in the natural. And I just had to believe by faith that seeds grow. The word accomplishes. And sure enough, by not changing my confession, I saw the results. And you can too. Amen? Amen. Did you get something out of it?